Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is now exactly 9:15. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Bam and I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Maulana Zahir Ahmed Raghi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you this morning, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, Maulana, and how are you feeling this morning?
Alhamdulillah, I think we have been fortunate. Allah has blessed us with some beautiful rain.
Gee, Maulana, I think it was through the whole night we had some rain.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. May Allah increase and give us more of this blessing, inshallah.
Inshallah. Maulana, we in our previous discussion that we had regarding Surah Al-Kahf, we did the 27th ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. And we mentioned that every word in the Quran is precisely where Allah wanted it to be. There's no possibility of any change on any word in the Quran. Thereafter, we did the word tilawa. Tilawa means a person should read and follow, and a person should read while understanding what you are reading. And thereafter, we said that min kitabi rabbik, this is more emphasis on the word uhiya, that is what has been revealed from Allah. And then we did the word multahada, that is multahada is a place where a person seeks protection. And we mentioned one dua that the seekers of the cave made, and it was Rabbana atina min ladunka rahmah wa hayyi lana min amrina rashada. And we also mentioned that the greatest refuge given to this ummah is that of the Quran. Thereafter we went to the next ayah, that is ayah number 28. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُمْ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرْطًا. Ya Allah mentions, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, restrain, keep yourself within the company of those who seek in his pleasure, call to worship their Rabb morning and evening, even though they are poor and of low social standing, even though the wealthy kuffar insist that you drive these mu'mineen away so that they can come close to you. Do not shift your attention from these people, from the mu'mineen, with the intention of acquiring the adornment of this worldly life, with the intention that if the wealthy kuffar accept Islam, the status and financial strength of Islam will grow. Therefore, do not obey those people whose hearts we have made heedless of our remembrance, those people who pursue their own passion and whose affairs entail transgressing Allah. Well, I think that's where we stopped, and we did explain what is وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ, that don't turn your attention from them to those who have material things, and we stopped by وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا.
Yes, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This ayah number 28, keep yourself content with those who call their Lord morning and evening, seeking His pleasure. And let not your eyes overlook them, seeking the splendor of worldly life. And do not obey the one whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, and who has followed his desire, and whose behavior has exceeded the limits. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Allah said, we made his heart unaware, not his tongue unaware. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. Do not pay attention to or obey the one who we made heedless and whose heart we've made unaware of our remembrance. And as a result, he followed his empty whims and fancies and his entire matter, his entire lifestyle. Or decision is a violation in one form or the other. Allah spoke about dhikr. Dhikr can be constantly done on the tongue, but if it has no effect or it has no impact on your deen, if it has no impact on your manners, if it has no impact on your character, that means it hasn't reached your heart. And therefore Allah talks about the heart that becomes heedless of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ أَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. Do not pay attention or obey the one whose heart we have made heedless. So as much as we find people that are constantly in the remembrance of Allah, dhikr is done constantly on the tongue. But if it has no effect, it has no impact on our deen, it has no impact on our manners and our character, that means it hasn't reached our heart. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And Allah says that his entire matter, his entire lifestyle, his entire decision is a violation in one form or another. Some mufassirun and some commentators of the Quran say that the word furuta actually means that someone who falls short, and some say it means he does so much that he goes beyond. So there are two ways of looking at this ayah. There are two kinds of violations in this world. The one is that one goes beyond what you're supposed to do, and the other kind is falling short of what you are supposed to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about both in this ayah. Allah says that his heart has no remembrance and he lacks iman, first and foremost. And so everything he does amounts to foolish decisions. Things go to waste, and sometimes things go to waste and are short of what they should have been in every case. The other meaning would be, which is to go beyond, is also accommodated in this ayah, in the word furuta. Just like the things that disbelievers from the Quraysh said to the believers who were poor. They went beyond what they should have said. If you recall, we spoke last week about how the Quraysh said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we are the elite. Why are you having these poor people sit around you and we have to come and share the same platform with them? So they went beyond what they should have said. The leaders of Quraysh, thinking that they can't sit in the company of the poorer people, that has been termed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat as furuta on their part, ifrat on their part. It has both ifrat, excessiveness. Them saying and requesting Rasulullah to remove these people, then we will sit with you, is tafreet, and is perfectly captured in the wording of this ayah. So he follows his own fall. وَأَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. He follows his own fall. He follows emptiness. He follows his own cowardice. He follows what he loves. The state of affairs can only be true of someone who doesn't look, who doesn't want to fix his religion, but only does things for worldly benefit. That he is at extreme always. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah says openly that these people who follow their worldly desires are constantly falling short and ignore what is mandated on them. These people pay attention to wrong things. They have their priorities wrong. This part of the ayah has three stages that all lead to each other. First is, Allah says that Allah has made their heart heedless of the remembrance. Allah makes his heart empty of Allah's remembrance. Now, something cannot remain empty, so it gets filled with what? With his hawa, with his desires. Hawa is not a guide, it is a whim and changes all the time. So you'll end up doing something wrong in one way or the other, which is also encapsulated in the word furuta, وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. The previous ayah before this was where Allah says, وَقُلِ اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. The Quran was enough. If you want to go beyond the Quran, then the people you have who want to hear and learn the Quran are around you. They are enough. Those that have accepted Iman, those that wish to sit around with you, the Sahaba, they are sufficient for you. You don't need anyone else. They call him with his word, with the refuge he gave them. The ayah before was that you have to concern yourself with the Quran. And as a consequence only, concern yourself with those that are concerned with the book. Don't concern yourself with other people. These people are to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as heroes, the Sahaba. just like the people of the cave who went against an entire society, but are empowered of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba, are like that, and are favored and empowered by Allah. The training that has been given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this ayah, where Allah says, wasbir nafsak, hold yourself tight. With who? مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِي. With those that are engaged in the remembrance of Allah morning and evening. When it comes to representing Islam and this message, social standings of people play no role. It plays no role. So, there is no make way for them, in other words, in the language of today. As a matter of fact, the least of your assets are more beloved to Allah than the greatest of the enemies of Islam that may just want to bless you with their presence. They mean absolutely nothing in the sight of Allah. It is a complete shift of how we think of hierarchy in society. This ayah is bringing about that shift. The only function of these people was to represent this deen. The only hierarchy in Islam was commitment. The only hierarchy in Islam is piety. The only hierarchy in Islam is your dedication to Islam. And the Sahaba that were around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were immigrants. And they are first, and the first in land. And they are the ones that have been brought super near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are talking about Islam, we should not and we cannot give special consideration to certain types of people at the expense of other Muslims, especially in the field of those that are calling on their Rabb night and day. Therefore Allah said, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكْ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَذَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِ. These people that are engaged in the dhikr of Allah morning and evening, يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ, they want nothing else but the pleasure of Allah. They enjoy the highest hierarchy. In our life, someone sometimes may be politically, sometimes maybe socially, sometimes maybe economically important because of their connections, because of their network, because of their material net worth. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Rasulullah and is instructing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't need to go past these people because they have a connection that is higher than any other connection because they call on their Rabb night and day. لا تعود أيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا. Allah is talking to Rasulullah in a very firm tone. لا تعود أيناك عنهم, لا تعود أيناك عنهم, your eyes should not pass over them. تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا. Do your eyes want the beauty of the world? They are, these people, the Sahaba, are constantly connected to Allah. So the Prophet doesn't need to worry about anyone else and their connection. This gives the Sahaba an elite standing. Now these people are so connected to Allah that upsetting them for anyone else would like be the most dangerous thing you can do. So Allah is telling Rasulullah, wasbir nafsak, be patient along with them. You are with them and they are with you. They are not someone you are being patient with. They are not just ordinary people. You are being patient along with those that are side by side with you. They are your support and you are their support. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been told, you have a team. You have a team that will give you support. And the book will give you support. The activities being during the day and night are what? These people are busy with Allah the whole day. So this is their business. Yuriduna wajha, seeking Allah's pleasure. This isn't just about their sincerity. It is a beautiful picture that Allah is drawing. You are calling on someone and remembering all the time. They call on Allah so much and are so in love with Allah that they cannot wait for the day where they can actually see Allah. Their faces will be lit up by looking towards their Rabb, and they can't wait. Allah is telling Rasulullah how intense their love for Allah and His deen is. So now that Allah has established their position and Allah has established their importance, Allah reiterates the meaning and emphasizes that nothing should go beyond them. They are enough. The word la ta'adu, don't look above them. Don't let your eyes look above them. You shouldn't think anyone else has a higher status or is more important than these people. Don't let your eyes go in a way in any inappropriate place. Don't let your eyes go beyond them. When he passed over the truth, when Allah highlights a limb or a body part as doing something wrong, and here where Allah says, don't let your eyes look above them or beyond them, then the matter becomes angry or aggressive, especially when it comes to prohibitions. This is stern language to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua to Allah to make one of the two Umars to become Muslim. He knew that people in power and influence have an impact. And so he knew that if powerful people come to Islam, they will have an impact on other people and more will become Muslim. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not just the best in one thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best in everything and the best strategist, and is equipped to finish his impossible mission to carry it out in 23 years. Part of the strategy was to get after the elite people because they have a larger circle of influence. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees that reaching out to the leaders of Quraysh would result in the spread of Islam, and it will result in the growth of Islam. But important to note here is that for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beauty of worldly life is for him to see his mission accomplished. That was the beauty of this world for Rasulullah, to see his mission of nubuwwah become accomplished. So when Allah tells him to read zinat al-hayati dunya, wanting or the eyes would want the beauty of worldly life, Allah isn't telling Rasulullah about power. Allah is not telling Rasulullah about money. Allah is not telling Rasulullah about children, which is the beauty that we see in this world. He is telling him about the victory of Islam. So even in this victory of Islam, Allah says to Rasulullah, don't let your eyes go past your companions, because I know you want victory for Islam. Even that is not better than your Sahaba. If it comes at the expense as one of your companions feeling overlooked, then that is not enough. So now Allah tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you do engage with the Quraysh, don't end up obeying or taking influence from anyone whose heart we have made empty of our remembrance. Allah has punished these people, and Allah has misguided these people, and they are only following their own whims. Why would Allah punish them in this way? In previous ayah, Allah says that nobody can change the words of the Quran. That suggests that there are people who want to edit the Quran, and so instead of benefiting from it, they want to edit it. So when they demonstrate that level of heedlessness, Allah decides that he will allow their hearts to remain heedless, and he will lock them up in that state. And that's why the rest of the ayah is something like a done deal of sorts, that whatever decision he makes, his decision will always be a violation in one way or the other. A person whose heart has become heedless of the remembrance of Allah, whatever decision he will make, his decision will always be a violation. Now, when we look at the primary mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was da'wah and tabligh. Now, da'wah and tabligh, admit, should have no form of discrimination. And that is what Allah is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, some events have been mentioned in the background of the revelation of this verse. Wasbir nafsak, keep yourself content. It is possible that all of them became the cause of this instruction. However, Imam Baghawi reports that Uwayna ibn Hasan al-Fazzari, the chief of Makkah, paid a visit to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he paid this visit to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was Rasulullah was Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an, who was one of the poor Sahaba. His dress was tattered, and his looks that of a, you know, poor Sufi, Darwish type of person. And there were some other poor and humble people like him sitting within the gathering. Uwayna said, "These are the people who stop us from coming to you. These are the people that stops us from listening to you. We cannot sit with such broken down people. You should remove them from your gathering. And you should at the least have one special separate gathering, one khas special khususi gathering for us, and another for them." Ibn Marduya reports on the authority of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas that Umayyah ibn Khalaf al-Jumahi advised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he should not have poor and broken down Muslims as those close to him. Instead of that, he should prefer to have the chiefs of Makkah and the Quraysh tribe with him. If these people embrace the religion, it will advance the cause of deen. Pursuant to events of this nature, came this divine instruction and this ayah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that firmly stopped him from accepting their advice. Not only that he should not remove them from his company, in fact the command actually given reads, wasbir nafsak, translated as, keep yourself content. If translated literally, it could mean keep yourself tied with them. Not in the sense of not leaving them anytime, but meaning that he should attend to and relate to these very people. Seeking their advice is essential in matters and working in association with them. Why should he do that? And what was the wisdom behind it? The words that follow spell the reason out. Because these poor, down, supposedly downtrodden people, what are they engaged in? They call their Lord morning and evening, remembering Him, under all conditions. And what they do is exclusively for the good pleasure of Allah. All these conditions around them are conditions that attract the help and support of Allah. To be engaged in the remembrance of Allah morning and evening, only for the purpose of seeking the pleasure of Allah, this is a condition that attracts the help and support of Allah. And such are the people to whom comes the help of Allah. So let them not worry about the loss of worldly support, for the final victory shall be theirs. The reason why he was, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was prevented from accepting the advice of the Quraysh chiefs has been given towards the end of this verse. It was said that their hearts were heedless of the remembrance of Allah. Everything they did was subservient to their physical desires, and their conditions guaranteed that they would stand alienated far from the mercy and support of Allah. At this point, someone may doubt that this advice was reasonably practicable. Maulana, do you want me to carry on, or you want to have a short break?
Gee, we can have a short break, Maulana.
Okay, then, just a minute or two, and then we can carry on.
Gee, welcome back to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Bam, and the time now is exactly 9:43. Maulana, I think we can continue with the discussion on the ayat wasfir nafsaka ma'al-ladhina yad'una rabbahum bil-ghadati wal-'ashi.
Maulana, we've made mention about the request of some of the chiefs of Makkah requesting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a special khususi gathering. At this point, someone may doubt that this advice was reasonably practical. A separate gathering for them would have no harm. In fact, it would have made it easier to convey the message of Islam to them, and equally easier for them to accept it. But the creation of such a division of a normal arm majlis and then a special khas majlis, the creation of such a division would have amounted to seating the rebellious rich on a pedestal of honor, an action that could have broken the hearts of poor Muslims or dampened their courage. Allah Ta'ala, in His ultimate wisdom, would not put up with anything like this. Instead of that, the ground rule of da'wah and the ground rule of tabligh given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that there should be no discrimination. There should be no distinction against or for anyone in it. And Allah knows best. And therefore Allah says to Rasulullah, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكْ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا وَلَا تَعْدُ أَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ أَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَى هَوَى وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Keep yourself content with those who call the Lord morning and evening. And the only reason for calling their Lord morning and evening is they seek His pleasure. And let not your eyes overlook them seeking the splendor of the worldly life. And do not obey the one whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, and who has followed his desire and whose behavior has exceeded the limits. Keep yourself patient with those who call on their Rabb. So recall from our tafsir of ayah number 12, where we said that the main idea in this story of the youth in the cave was submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said that in the end, this was a story about submission to Allah. Allah told us in that ayah how the reason why He subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the youth back to life was so that He subhanahu wa ta'ala may make known which of the two groups among them better knew for how long they remained asleep. The group that knew better was the group that said, Allah knows best. This group realized the limitations of their knowledge. This group knew that Allah is the one who knows all affairs best. Even those matters which they thought that they knew that He subhanahu wa ta'ala knew much better than them. That is why they did not go with the assumption that their mind told them, rather they consigned the entire matter to their Rabb. They told their companions that He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how long they remained in the cave. This was a lesson for us from their story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, so we should submit to Him in all affairs. When we realize the completeness and the perfection of His knowledge, when we realize how He alone has knowledge of the unseen, then we see how we must consign our judgment to Him. We should choose what He wants for us over what we want for ourselves. We have to make Allah as our sovereign rather than our own egos and desires. We have to live under His law in all areas of our life. This is the main theme of the ayah so far. And one way of achieving this mindset is engaging in ilm, engaging in seeking the knowledge of Allah, and being in the company of those that are engaged in the remembrance of Allah. So two things: engaged in the seeking of ilm, knowledge, and secondly, remaining in the company of those that are engaged in the remembrance of Allah. So the lesson that we can take from this ayah is that we must seek the company of those who remember Allah, and we must avoid the company of the heedless. Now the company of the heedless, the latter, is even more important than the former. That is, we must always seek the company of those who remember Allah. But if we cannot do the former, if we cannot be always in the company of those that engage in the remembrance of Allah, then we must at least do the latter, which is paramount. And we must avoid the company of the heedless. When we see how evil a people they are, then we can see how important it is for us to stay away from them. We, more than anyone else, we who realize what the purpose of our existence is, We who realize our slavehood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest of all matters. How important it is. How important it is for us to always remain pure to Allah. How easy is this to do when we consider the world in which we live today? The world that we live in today is a world of heedlessness. This world is a world that is engulfed in sin. This world is where the vast majority of people don't even remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let alone praise and glorify Him as He should be. Now, how easy is it for us to remain dedicated to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in such a world? It's not easy. In fact, it is almost impossible. There are always distractions. There are always temptations. There is always something that takes our hearts away from Him. And even if shaitan does not lead us astray, even if we are able to remain true to our covenant in the secular world, what chance do you think there is for our children? What chance do we think that there is for our grandchildren? What chance we think there is for all our generations who will grow up in this world? Are we sure that they will be able to maintain, preserve, protect the iman? Are we sure that we will remain as Muslims? This is why we say that the status quo today is not an acceptable condition. This is why we say that Islam can never be compatible with secularism. This is why we say that there will always be a clash of civilizations. We are from two different civilizations and worlds. Our very viewpoints towards life is different. Some seculars, West disbelievers, believe that the purpose of life is to serve oneself. Their creed is based upon the pursuit of life, pursuit of liberty, pursuit of absolute happiness. Whereas we believe, as Muslims, that the purpose of life is to be a slave of Allah. We believe that the purpose of life is to be dedicated and to dedicate ourselves to Allah. Of course, our viewpoint is the correct one. Secularism do not have it because they fail to realize the majesty of Allah. They fail to realize the purity of Allah. They fail to realize His awesomeness and tremendousness. How then can we be content living in that world? How then can we not strive to restore our world? A world where the law of Allah is the law of the land. A world where He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is constantly remembered and glorified. A world where all the people have a chance to know and a chance to find fulfillment in our existence. And among the ways of doing that, which has been mentioned at the end of the story as a conclusion, is number one, remain engaged in the seeking of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of His deen. That's the first thing. Engage in ta'aleem and learning the deen and the Quran, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and know who Allah is. Second is, engage in the dhikr of Allah. Remain in the company of those that are engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And stay away from those who are heedless of the remembrance of Allah. And thirdly, which brings us to the next ayah, is وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Be engaged in the effort of da'wah and tabligh, in the effort of propagation. So these are three chapters, branches of deen, that if we remain in them, insha'Allah, it will be a means for us to be protected from the dangers of secularism, the dangers of materialism, which are actually the roots of the ideology of Dajjal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of His deen. Insha'Allah, we will continue with ayah number 29 in our next discussion. Jazakumullah.
Jazakumullah. Jazakumullah for your time. Much appreciated. We hope to speak to one another next week, Wednesday, insha'Allah.
Insha'Allah.
It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Ba'ma, and my engineer, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.